that again for the speaker. Ezra 7, verse 1 to 10. Excuse me if I get one or two of these names wrong at the beginning here. I was tempted to miss out the first few verses, but I thought, no, I need to read these verses, so please correct me after, if you would. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, they went up Ezra, son of Seraiah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shalom, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Merioth, son of Zeriah, son of Uzai, son of Bukai, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. What a background he had. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all he requested, because the good hand of the Lord was upon him. Some of the sons of Israel, and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. He came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first of the first month he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Well, the last time I spoke, last month, I spoke on the setting of the heart to seek God. How important it is we fix our heart and we have a determination to seek God. And that implies an ongoing seeking of God, not just now and again when it gets difficult or when we have a problem, but to go on seeking him for everything in our lives. And a fellowship as well, so that setting of our heart to seek God. I just want to go on and look at more of that today, because it occurs here in verse 10, as we saw, the setting of a heart for other things as well. But before that, I just want to say, it's so vital we set our heart on right things. If we set our heart on things that are not good, that can take us off course as believers, then it leads to poverty, of course, in spirit, and it leads to many, many griefs, if we can say. Now, to look at in the Bible, what we can set our hearts upon. I'm sure you've come across some of these already. There's a verse in Psalm 62, verse 10. Let me just read this to you. It talks about riches. It says, second part of the verse, if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. So that's one thing so easily done in our days. It's set our hearts upon riches, upon getting as much as we can. And interesting, he says, as riches increase, if riches increase. So we get a taste for something, and we are, in a sense, we're ensnared, and we have a desire. We set our hearts upon them. We have to be very careful what we set our hearts on, because the whole path of our life can be directed on a wrong course if we have set our hearts on things that are not good for us. So we need to watch that. And in this instance, it talks about riches, but that could apply to many things as well. We read in 1 Timothy 6, we won't turn to that. It talks about the love of money. Again, wandering away from the truth, wandering away from the path of life. If we set our hearts on these things, and that love is all to do with the heart condition there, and loving something more than God, we will wander away, it says, from the truth. Some have, with the testimony there of Paul and Timothy, and pierce themselves with many griefs. Isn't that tragic that we can pierce ourselves with many griefs if we set our hearts on things that are not good for us? Things that God does not want us to set our hearts upon. So let's be careful that we set our hearts on right things. Another verse from Proverbs, I think it's 21, verse 17. So it talks about those who love pleasure become poor men. Those who love pleasure become poor men. Now, it's great. I enjoy some great things in this life, and there's many things we can enjoy. But if we set our hearts on just seeking pleasure, or on seeking enjoyment outside of Christ, of course, then that will lead to poverty of spirit. It will lead to poverty in the Christian life. And so, again, we need to guard against those things that can lead us astray, that can take us away from that course, setting our hearts, fixing our hearts upon things that are not what God has in mind for us. And that also speaks of a determination to go after something. When we set our heart upon something, we are determined to get that. And there's something that speaks of a determination that we have when we set our heart upon something, we're going to get it. And again, we need to be very careful what we set our hearts upon in this day and age, when there's so many things that we can set our hearts upon. And we need to be very, very careful. At the other extreme, of course, we set our hearts on nothing and we just waver about. There's no stability in our Christian lives because I'm just moved about by the latest wave of teaching or whatever comes across, the latest experience, you name it. So we need to anchor ourselves by setting our hearts aright. And when we set our hearts aright, we will be anchored firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to be, friends. In a day and age when it's so easy to be blown off course, we need to make sure that our anchor is in place. I want to look at that this morning. These three things that are mentioned here in this verse 10. Three things that Ezra set his heart upon. Interestingly, it says there in verse 10, for Ezra had set. Now, the word for implies that something has gone before, and the reason God's good hand is upon him is because Ezra had set his heart on these good things. And because Ezra had done that, it says twice in that passage that God's good hand was upon him, because the hand of the Lord was upon him, verse 6, and then in verse 9, because the good hand of the Lord of God was upon him. You see, when we set our hearts upon things that are good and right in God's sight, the things that he wants to set our hearts upon, you can guarantee God's good hand will be upon you. You will find favor with God. God will grant you success in the things that he's given you to do. Now, Ezra set his heart, first of all, on getting up to Jerusalem. And this was no small feat. He had to go from Babylon to Jerusalem on foot, and it took him 5 months. He set out on the first month, and he got there on the fifth month. And it was a very dangerous journey. And yet, such was the determination of this man that nothing was going to deter him. And he got there. So, friends, when our hearts are set on the things that God would have them set, then you can guarantee God's good hand will be upon you, and you will find favour with the Lord. Right, what about this first thing then? The first thing that Ezra set his heart to do was to study the law of the Lord. Now, don't switch off there, friends. If you're thinking you're not very academic, and you're not one of these like to sit in the library and work through all the books and whatever, and you weren't very academic at school, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean sitting down and doing a sort of intellectual academic study of what's in God's word. That word means several things. Mine has in the margin, you might have this as well. It means to seek. To seek the law. Well, what does it mean to seek the law? Well, surely it means to seek something of God's direction. Something of what God is saying and meaning through what he's written in his word. And that's what Ezra wanted to do. Ezra knew that God's word was pivotal for the whole welfare of the nation of Israel, for the return of the Jews to Jerusalem and the building up of Jerusalem. If they were going to live outside of God's word, then they weren't going to last long. They would be in exile again. So Ezra knew if they were going to make a success of what God had called them to do, he knew they had to stay in the word of God, stay in line what God was saying, and therefore he was determined to seek the law of the Lord. He was determined to find out what God was wanting and what God was saying. And Ezra set his heart upon that. Nothing was going to deter Ezra from knowing what God wanted, from knowing what God was saying, from knowing what God's requirements were for his people in that day. Friends, we need a heart like that, don't we? We need a heart like that today when so many are rubbishing God's word or setting it aside, even in the church. This part isn't relevant. That part isn't relevant. Friends, we need to have a heart that is absolutely set on seeking God's word. What is God saying? What is his requirement in this day and age? What does God say about same-sex marriage? We have it in the word. We don't set aside God's word for these things that are coming, being pushed upon us in this day and age, where many are saying, well, this isn't relevant today. We're living in a modern day, and we need to move with the times. Friends, God is modern. He is modern, friends. And he doesn't need to change or adapt to fit in with anything. It's we need to change to fit in. And Ezra knew that he had to set his heart on the word of God, on seeking what God was saying. And you know what? As he did that, God would show him. He knew that God would show him because he had experienced that. God had already shown him that he had to go back to Jerusalem. He had sought God's word. He had sought what God had to say in the prophetic word, I'm sure, as well. Like Daniel didn't. Daniel knew that after 70 years, the exile would end and they would have to go back to Jerusalem. And Ezra knew God was calling him back. And I believe Ezra was seeking God in his word. Seeking God's heart as well and God's mind. Not just knowing what the sort of words mean. Can I say it that way? He wanted to get underneath. What is God's heart in this? What is God saying? What's his mind? Isn't that amazing? We're the only people on the face of the planet that can know God's heart and mind. Now that's a tremendous privilege, friend. But it's a responsibility as well, isn't it? Tremendous responsibility we have. We can know the heart and the mind of God. But we have to seek him for it. He's not automatically going to drop it in our laps. Unless we set our hearts on seeking him and show a bit of perseverance in that, of course. It's no good setting your heart one day and then thinking, well, I've had enough of this. It hasn't worked. I'm going to give up. God looks for perseverance. And I'm just the testimony of Neil about Urban Saints. It was a slog at times. But it's a much greater joy now because God has given perseverance. And he's producing fruit. This is the God we have. He looks for perseverance, friends. And if we will set our heart, like Ezra did, on seeking the Lord of the Lords, seeking the word of God, God will show himself. He will show his heart. He will show his mind. He will give instruction. He will give direction. What you need, God will provide. Ezra knew that what the Jews needed of the day, God would provide through his word as he sought him. As he sought God's law and God's word, so God would show him. Now that does involve application, of course, because this isn't something that comes natural. Naturally, we don't want to look into God's word, and there's an enemy out there that wants to stop us as well, and makes us so busy these days that we find any excuse not to get into the word. But you see, as we make it a priority, as we set our heart and fix our heart on getting into the word of God, of knowing what God is saying, God will show himself. He will show his word. If we give it a sort of casual glance, if we sort of open the page for a minute a day or whatever, and that's all we can give God's word, then don't be surprised if you never find God's instructions and God's direction. God won't give it to you, I believe. He can, because he's very merciful and gracious, but I don't believe God will. Because God is looking for something of honour shown him. And we show him honour because this is his word. It's his word that he's given us. And he wants us to look into it. He wants us to know him, to find him, and to seek him in the word. So that word, study, means to seek the law of the Lord. It also means careful searching. Careful searching, giving it a bit of care and a bit of time. When you're carefully searching for something, you don't quickly do it haphazardly and give up. I used to give this little illustration when I used to do the part of the Gideons years ago into school, and just tell the kids, you know, if I told you there was some treasure in that field out there, you wouldn't just go around the field and look around and say, oh, I can't see it, and go away. Or you wouldn't go and dig in one place and then give up. You would dig, and you would dig, and you would dig carefully and give yourself to that until you find the treasure. And that's what we have here, friends. There's a careful searching that is needed at times. And we need to come to it in such a manner, in such a way. And another word, another meaning for that word is to resort to. Ezra resorted to the word, the law of the Lord. Gives the impression that our first port of call is the word of God. Can I ask you, friends, this morning, what's your first port of call when you have a problem? When you need some instruction, some direction? It's good that we have Christian friends that we can share with and talk to, of course. But you know, we need to get into the habit of going to God and his word first. He's the one that has everything that we need to know. And we need to come to him. We need to resort to him quickly. Resort to him. It implies by doing that, that we are trusting him. That we are saying to God, Lord, you have the way forward for me. And I want to know what you are saying. And that's what Ezra did. Ezra showed God that he trusted him. And he only wanted to know what God had to show him. And friends, we need that, don't we? In a day and age when so much of the Word of God is under attack, so much of Christian doctrine is under attack. You know, we need to be so careful that we resort to God's Word, not to the teaching of a man. Even Christian teachers. Now, let's be careful here. It's great that we have some, you know, there are some good Christian teachers around, but if we just entrust ourselves to a Christian teacher without any discernment, then we can be, in a sense, fodder, if that's the right word, for deception. We have to be very careful. Let's not think that man is above error. Any one of us can easily get it wrong. We need to get into God's Word. We need to resort to God's Word first, as the Bereans did, of course, even when Paul spoke to them. So if it was good enough for the Bereans when Paul spoke to them, it should be good enough for us as well, that we resort quickly to God's Word to see what he is saying. And of course, the outcome of all of this, that God will give us the right understanding. If we come to God's Word first, even if the best teacher on the planet of the Word of God says something, and something doesn't quite click with me, and there's a bit of a disquiet in my heart, go to God's Word. Go to God's Word, and God will give understanding on that. So Ezra set his heart first on this, on seeking the law of the Lord. And then it says, and to practice it. And to practice it. Now it's one thing to want to hear from God. It's another thing to want to do it sometimes. When he says something. And that word practice just means to do. Very simple, to do. You see, if we just come to God in a sort of academic way and come to his word academically and just want to get a bit more head knowledge, that won't lead to us practicing it. And we have a head of RE at school who knows the Bible very well academically. He's an atheist. He doesn't practice God's word. And there are many in our academic institutions up and down the land that can give an academic account of God's word, and they know it in that sort of sense, but they don't practice God's word. There's no heart for practicing it. The word has never penetrated. There's never been a change. So, friends, when our hearts are set on finding God's word and knowing what he's saying, then we will want to do his will. We will want to practice what we find. In fact, that's often something of the reason we get into God's word to start with, isn't it? Because we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to please God. And that's what Ezra wanted to do. He wanted to please God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Ezra understood unless he was doing the things that God wanted him to do, there would be no success. Jerusalem would not be rebuilt. God's purposes would stutter, if not fail, for a time. And he knew that he had to know and he had to do God's word. He had to give himself to that. There had to be a real determination in the heart of Ezra. And Ezra set his heart upon that, friends. And there are other examples in Scripture of people who have died. I just want to look at one. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1, please. Because this is the prime example of someone who resolved in his heart, who set his heart to do what God had shown him. And that's, well, let's read from verse 6, Daniel chapter 1. Now among them, that's these exiles from Israel, from Jerusalem, from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank, so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. There it is again, friends. God granting favor to his people who have set their hearts on doing what God wanted them to do. And Daniel, you see here, that says he resolved, in verse 8, Daniel made up his mind. That literally means set upon his heart. Again, it's talking about the heart again. Resolving in his heart, setting his heart on doing something that God wanted him to do. You see, Daniel knew, again, because he was another man that was in God's word. We know from later on, he was constantly looking into the word of God, and he found from the scriptures that the exile was only going to last 70 years from Jeremiah's writings. So this wasn't a man that was making it up on the hoof, so to speak. Here was a man who was seeking the Lord of God as well. And God showed him that there are certain things he should not be doing in Babylon. And this is so relevant for today, friends. People have likened it today to living in... How do we live in Babylon? We're living in an age like that, aren't we? Where anything goes. Well, how do we live? How did Daniel live? He set his heart not only on seeking the Lord of God, but doing it, friends. He set his heart on doing what he knew in his heart God wanted him to do. And he was not going to eat this defiled food and this drink, probably sacrificed to other gods. He knew that he shouldn't do this. Now that was costly. He knew that he shouldn't do this. Now that was costly. He knew that he shouldn't do this. Now that was costly. He knew that he shouldn't do this.